What would you do if the whole world knew a secret about you? A secret that wasn't even true. And then we take a look at the story of a little boy who wanted to listen to some music one day. So he grabbed his tape deck, popped in his favorite tape, and started jamming to some tunes. But little does he know that his story may answer so many questions as to why the world is not filled with ghosts and ghouls. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys are having tons of fun doing whatever you're doing. We got a ton of stuff to cover, so we're going to get started right away. First off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio command right now. Everyone get on your feet and give a warm round of applause for Jaden. Woohoo, yeah, wee, yeah, woohoo, yeah. Big celebration. Streamers are coming down from the ceiling. We're shooting off noisemakers right in Jaden's face. He's like, ah. Jaden is officially the last person I had on my list for people who shared their Spotify Wrapped. Remember that whole thing that started in December of 2023? A lot of you guys shared your Spotify Wrapped. That shows how much you listen to Dead Rabbit Radio in the year 2023. It's an amazing way to get the word out. Share that type of info on your social media. Or just tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show, and because of that, Jaden is going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. We got a crazy one, Jaden. I hope you're strapped in. Jaden also supports the Patreon, and I would argue Jaden is probably... And no one listens to every episode. I say that. I know some of you guys do listen to every episode. Jaden is one of the oldest listeners of Dead Rabbit Radio, not age-wise. He's not like 103, but... I've been contacting Jaden. We've been talking back and forth since the days of Golf Rumors. Like when that episode first dropped, Jaden's been around for years. So I really, really appreciate that, Jaden. That is great. Thank you for being such a fan of the show. And and my sincere apologies to you, Jaden, for our first story. Jaden, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the Jason Jalopy. We're going to leave behind Dead Rabbit Radio command. Drive us all the way out to a concert. We get to this concert and we see everyone like dancing to the music. They're all waving their hands in the air. We see a DJ on stage going, wicka wicka whack, wicka wicka whack. People are like, Jason, how old are you, DJs? Don't do that anymore. They're like Skrillex or Pumpkinhead or Deadmau5 or whatever these guys are named. The Smokehouse Boys, Daft Punk. They're DJs like that. You don't actually go to a concert and your ears are all, huh? What? Did my ears get teleported to the 1980s? A wicky wicky whack, a wicky wicky whack. This guy's scratching the wax. Anyways, we're at this music performance. This DJ is like... And everyone's like kind of dance. We're like, okay, this is what DJs do nowadays. And we're dancing. And we see a guy on stage as well. And he's kind of like looking around nervously. Not the DJ. There's a guy behind him who we will call Ed. I mean, Ed got hired by this DJ. This happened, quote unquote, this is such a weird story, this is so weird, quote unquote, happened March 2024, Ed got hired by this DJ to set up this monitor, like this big screen, projector screen on stage for the DJ, and DJ's like, but we're dancing to the music. But we see the guy on stage, he's getting really, really panicked. He looks super nervous. He's actually like sweating really hard, and not because he took a bunch of Molly. Because now let's experience the concert from his point of view. Ed's sitting on stage, and what he hears is the DJ plane. Skid-a-ma-rinky-dinky-dink, skid-a-ma-rinky-doo, I love you. It's a kid's song. Skid-a-ma-rinky-dinky-dink. He's like, what? And on the projector, there's a bunch of kids, images of kids running through fields and laughing and going down slides. And the DJ's playing the kid's song, and he yells out to the audience, he's a pedo! He's a pedophile! He loves kids, doesn't he? And the audience is all, boo! Boo! Pedophiles suck! Ah, people are like freaking out. Skid-a-ma-rinky-dinky-dink, skid-a-ma-rinky. Who loves pedophiles? Nobody. I mean, if you ever want to get a call and response, that is, you're always getting over that one. People are all, boo, get that pedophile off stage. Boo, we hate you, we hate you. And Ed's just sweating. Was throwing a little old school, scratching on that. We're back in the audience and we're like, dude, that was weird. Like, what in the world was going on? Because obviously that didn't happen. We didn't hear anyone calling this dude a pedophile. We didn't hear any kids' music. But that's what Ed is going through. Ed, I found this account online, and it's so bizarre to me. I can't really... You know, the nature of reality is so tenuous. It's really just so bizarre. That I have, in my own mind, I realize that if I ever see an alien popping in my bedroom, regardless of how sexy they are, or a little leprechaun jump out from behind my couch and go, hey, begotten Jason, welcome to the leprechaun kingdom, I'll take you behind the couch, join me. See a ghost, which I've seen ghosts before, I'm a little more... I probably wouldn't do this with a ghost just because I've seen him so many times, but I would immediately believe I've lost my mind. I'm insane, and I need to go to a doctor. Or at least consult a WebMD. The leprechaun's like, oh yes, the number one place of information online. I kind of talked about this on Tuesday's episode after I had that crazy dream. I woke up. And I saw floating in midair underneath my work desk, because I sleep with my bedroom door open sometimes, so I wake up and I can see where I work. I see hovering for a split second, or less than a split second. I wake up and I see text floating underneath my computer table, and it says, are you ready? And then there's like a little start button, like a little video game menu thing. I saw for a split second it was gone. I'd never seen anything like it. And I immediately just sat there on my bed for the next 10 minutes thinking, did I just have a seizure? Am I insane? And I try to replicate it. Because, you know, I have double vision. I literally just woke up. My eyes were still red. They get dry in the winter, so that causes more vision problems. Like, kind of looking at the assemblage of cords and detritus underneath my desk. And I thought, could I... make that out? Like, what was that? Was it a hypnagogic hallucination? Was I technically still dreaming even though I had just sat up? But I never once really considered the thought that some sort of metaphysical force had put are you ready and a start button underneath my desk. And you could go, well, that's kind of out of character. It's kind of weird for a paranormal researcher. It might be, but again, because if I followed every leprechaun that I possibly could find underneath my couch, I wouldn't be alive. I'd be constantly... No, I'm not saying I have any leprechauns to see, Jason. I have to maintain a very solid, realistic focus. Because I feel if I start to let that slip, I mean, think about all the stuff I talk about. And really, I believe in aliens. Leprechauns are probably real. I don't know why leprechauns wouldn't exist, but aliens do. I mean, really, what do you think? Like Jason, who actually, science believes in aliens. Nobody believes in leprechauns. You know what I'm saying? We talk about so much weird stuff. I'm not going to say there's absolutely no way that a 3-inch race of humans who hold gold at the end of rainbows, I can't say there is no way they exist. Absolutely none. Maybe they did at one point, or maybe they didn't. Okay, but what I'm saying is, I have to make sure I always have a firm grip on reality. That's the main reason why I don't do drugs. 100%. Well, I don't do crack cocaine. I don't do heroin because it will ruin your life in pretty short order. I don't do trank because I enjoy having my fingers and being alive. But, you know, I don't smoke weed. I don't drink because that just makes me far more susceptible to experience things that aren't real. So I find it really interesting when we come across the accounts of people who have completely lost that ability. This story this guy posted, we'll go by the name Ed, it's basically him trying to figure out why everyone's calling him a pedophile all of a sudden. He goes, when I go to school, I'll just be walking across campus. This guy's like a college student, right? He's not like a teenager. As far as I can tell from his account, he's walking across campus and someone goes, hey, look out for that pedophile. Pedophile's coming. Pedo alert. Pedo alert. And he's like, what, huh? And it's just a student of his. It's just one of his fellow classmates walking by. He's like, why did that guy call me a pedophile? I'm not a pedophile. Why would that guy call me that? And he goes to work. This all started summer of 2023. So it's been going on for a while. He goes, started summer 2023. I was at work. And I walk by one of my coworkers and they go, pedophile. He doesn't get it. He's out shopping. He's like, okay, so my college classmates hate me. My coworkers think that I'm a pedophile. And he's like, finally, I'm out of my college. I'm out of my work. I get to go buy strawberries amongst total strangers. And he's not a pedophile, as far as we can tell, because that would be a totally different story if he actually is a pedophile and they're reading his mind. But I don't, you know, he says I'm not a pedophile, and I guess I'm taking him at his word for that one. But he goes to the grocery store. He's buying some food and a person's walking by with their shopping cart. And they go, there's the pedophile. There he is. Turns around and he looks. Getting called pedophile would be bad. Getting called a pedophile in public, I argue, would be worse. And getting called a pedophile pretty much everywhere you went would be the worst possible. There'd be no way away from that. And he can't figure out why everyone's calling him a pedophile. And he said it really came all to a head when he was doing this DJ concert, when he was setting up the thing. And he says the DJ grabbed the mic and apparently was commenting about the kids on the projected screen and going, nice view, huh? Nice view. I bet you like that. But you like looking at them kids. Can you see it? Can you see? Now, in reality, what I imagine happened was the DJ said, just wave your arms in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And the audience was doing that. But Ed's seeing something that's not happening. He's hearing things that don't happen, that nobody says. He said also back in 2023, he worked at a farm. He seems to be what's the term for someone who has a bunch of jobs? There's a specific term for it, a guy who has a bunch of jobs. But anyways, he seems to be like on hire stuff, right? Put that on your application. No, for 8 years I was on hire stuff. You know what I mean? Does a bunch of not side hustles. But anyways, the point is that he also worked at a festival on a farm, not a farm. He's all walking around, scarecrows calling him a pedophile. He's at this farm during a music festival and he sees a baby and he goes, peekaboo. And the baby's like, peekaboo. The baby's like, you're all hoping the baby called him a pedophile. Baby's like, his first word, pedophile. No, actually, that was that part of that story. Nothing else happened there. But later that night, he was sitting with some of his colleagues who also helped put together this festival, and they started making jokes about pedophiles. Now, what's interesting is I went through his posting history. He says that he is currently on an antipsychotic medicine, and he suffers from psychosis and anxiety. So, I mean, that's kind of what we figured. That's no big shock. And what's interesting is he posted this, and people online were saying things like, you should just quit. If your colleagues are calling you a pedophile, you should just quit. People are like, people are so rude these days calling people, but they're not actually calling him that. That's the problem. Yes, if you go to work and all of your coworkers call you a pedophile, your boss calls you a pedophile, he writes it on your review, 4 stars. I have to deduct a star because you're a pedophile. Quit. Quit, 100%. But that's not what's going on here. People are actually not calling him a pedophile. I believe. I could be wrong. There could be a place on this world where everyone just calls everyone else that. But no. He's having... And what sucks is that he's on antipsychotic medication, but this has lasted almost a year at this point. And not only is it damaging his ability to function in society, right? Because, I mean, like, you would not want to go to work if people were calling you a pedophile. I'm afraid that something worse may happen. Now, I know a lot of people in psychosis aren't violent, especially people on their medication or following a treatment plan. I get it. I totally understand that. However, he writes this because he thinks these people, when people are saying, why don't you just quit your job if everyone thinks you're a pedophile, which again, I'm behind that advice. I think, yes, if everyone at your job thinks you're a pedophile, maybe quit. But he goes, someone asks, why don't you quit? And he says, quote, it doesn't sit straight to just leave while they say bad stuff about me. I can't let that happen in my book. Unquote. So that's, you know, that's I think where the concern comes from, is that he's like, well, you know, I just can't leave. That would be unjust. That would be unjust. I deserve to be here, so I'm going to do something about it. I always say righteous violence is the best kind of violence. That's not a legal defense. I'm not recommending you do it. But when you get in fights, there's a huge difference between getting in a fist fight because both you guys are drunk and you're getting tossed out of the bar and you're continuing in on the street. There's another thing about risking your life to save somebody, right? Beating up somebody because they're hitting their kid or something like that. Righteous violence. Not a legal defense, but righteous violence is, it makes you feel good. Now, again, there was that story recently. I know I'm going all over the place, but I don't remember. I'll put in the show notes somebody was hitting on a girl at a bar and she didn't want it. She didn't want it. So this dude walks up to the antagonizer and says, hey, the lady doesn't want to be bothered right now. Why don't you leave her alone? And then the antagonizer guy leaves and the young man sits at the bar and the antagonizer comes back and smashes a beer bottle across the kid's face. And now he's blind for life. So, you know, you got to choose your battles. I feel really bad about that. There's no jokes in that story. It's horrible. It's a horrible story. But anyways, when you think you're doing the right thing, when you think you're helping somebody, sometimes you put yourself in a bad situation. But this is an interesting story, and we'll wrap it up like this, because you don't even know that this is going on. As an outsider, you could be working with this guy. You could go to school with this guy. You could walk down the street and see this guy and say, hey. Like, he looks a little glum. You go, hey, what's going on, buddy? And he just hears you go, another pedophile. Like, it's that disconnect from reality I just find fascinating and terrifying at the same time. That I could sit there and watch a movie with somebody and I'm seeing Dune and they're watching Willy Wonka, or they're just watching like an assemblage of bizarre clips that their brain's putting together, and they're like, why is the movie theater showing this? They're being mean to me. I bought a ticket for Dune and they're showing me just geometric images with a cacophony of brass instruments overlaid it. Like, it's that much of a disconnect between you and this gentleman, Ed. And even before, it's interesting too, I will wrap it up like this, before the pedophile stuff started, he was already having delusions, He said when he walked down the street, people would clear their throats right when he passed them. He would make that connection. Then he said that as he was passing people, they would start going, making fart noises with their mouth. And also sometimes he'd pass people and they'd go, poop. Poop. Poopy pants. And he doesn't understand why. He said, this makes me sad. I don't understand why people are doing this. Nobody's doing it. That's the terrifying part. Nobody's doing this. Nobody's doing it at all. He's the clearing the throat thing, possibly, but, and it's interesting how it's evolved as well. I really hope Ed needs some serious help, because I'm afraid something bad's going to happen. Because again, if everyone's saying poop and making fart noises, that's going to irritate you. But if people are accusing you of sexually molesting kids, like, how long could you put up with that before you just started, at best, beating people up? Like, eventually you would just be like, nah, I'm done. I'm done with that. So hopefully this young man gets the help that he needs. It's interesting. And also, like, if I'm walking towards you, and let's say you're Ed. If I'm walking towards you and I don't do anything with my mouth, I'm just looking straight ahead. I'm not really thinking of anything. Would Ed actually see your mouth go, like the cheek flares out and the vibration of the lips? So fascinating. Like I said, so terrifying. Losing your mind must be one of the worst things that can happen to a person. Just losing, like, just day by day losing a grasp of reality. What's the second story we're talking about? That's a little more depressing than I thought it was going to be. What is the next story? What did I say we're going to do? Jaden, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys of the Carbonar. Oh, yeah, this will be a fun one. Jaden, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys of the Carbonar copter. We are leaving behind Ed. Fly us all the way out to a little boy's house. We're headed all the way up to this little boy's house in anywhere USA. We don't have an exact location for this story. We're about to meet this kid. Let's call him Charlie. And Charlie's having a humdinger of an afternoon. He gets off of school, runs upstairs, throws his backpack down, and grabs his tape deck. I don't know when this story takes place. I'm assuming if it involves a tape deck, mid-80s, to early 90s, and Charlie, by his own estimation, he goes, the tape deck looked like it came from the 70s. It definitely was not high-tech, even for the era. Basically, single tape deck, single speaker. I think we all had those. Probably that little handle one that we'd carry around. Just a tape deck, right? And that's what you needed to have to listen to music. It was not hi-fi by any means. But it's all you had, right? You didn't know any better. Oh, man, this new Bobby Brown album, this is dope. I remember when I got a tape deck. We used to have the little tape deck with the handle. But I remember when I turned 12. 12 is when I started to remember things very clearly. 7th, 8th grade, that's where I can, like, go, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Before that, it's a fog. Very few memories. But when I was 12, I got a tape deck for my birthday. Like a nice one, you know, for me at least. And I got Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown's album, My Prerogative. I don't know what it's called. And I remember I was so happy. That was one of those moments in my life that I can look back and say, you were truly happy. Your family got you something that you really, really wanted. You now had unlimited Bobby Brown. And I remember after I sat in that living room and everyone kind of slowly went upstairs to their bedroom. And I remember sitting down there and popping that tape in and just listening to that whole album by myself. Yeah, interesting. It is interesting what you remember, right? But anyways, story's not about me. because of that story. You're like, wow, Jason, if that is as interesting as the story you're about to tell, you're falling asleep. I'm waking you up. No. The story I'm about to tell you is way more interesting than that story I just told you. However, this is my podcast, so this is my prerogative. But anyways, we're hanging out with Charlie. He's listening to his tape deck. Charlie generally leaves his tape deck right out on the landing. So it's a two-story house. He has his bedroom, and then there's a landing at the top of the stairs. That's where he listens to the tape deck, because that's where it's the most accessible plug for him, where he plugs it into the outlet so he can listen to music and just sit up there and chill. I imagine draw, right, or read a book or something like that. Maybe he's working on his dance moves. Maybe he's just sitting there listening to music. I can't do that. I can't just go, the soothing sounds of this orchestra. I think it's super boring. I know people love to just sit and listen to music. I cannot. I have to be doing something. But anyways, I don't know this guy. I'm just assuming he's coloring or something like that. But anyways, he's listening to the music, and he always leaves this tape deck on the landing, because that's where he listens to it, and then he goes to bed, comes out, you know, next day after school, listening to the tape deck. Well, as he's sitting there, he's listening to the music, and the tape's playing, he looks over and he realizes the tape deck is not plugged in. And Charlie goes, listen, I'm 5 years old when this story was happening, but this was a routine that I was keenly aware of. This was his prerogative of where to listen to the music. He would sit there and he would plug it in because there were no batteries in it. He said, I remember even being five, how hard it was to ever find batteries for that thing. Otherwise, he'd be listening to it in the bedroom. He goes, we never had batteries for it. Generally, those types of tape recorders required C batteries. And that's the type of battery a lot of people didn't have laying around. He goes, we never had batteries for it. That's why I listened to it out on the landing. And I understood that as a five-year-old. I'm watching this tape player play the tape. I can hear the music, but it's not plugged in. And it has no batteries. And he's just kind of sitting there for a moment. He's like, wow, what's going on here? He knows there's no batteries in it, but he also goes, well, let's check. Maybe mom threw in some batteries. I don't know. I mean, that would make more sense than what it's doing now, which is playing with no power. So he picks up the tape player. The music's still going. Flips it over. Removes the battery case. And just as he thought, no batteries. It's my prerogative. I can do what I want to do. It's my prerogative. He puts the tape player back down, and he's like, what in the world? How is this possible? But Charlie also goes, I was five. So I thought, wow, that's awesome. This is really cool. I have a tape deck. It doesn't need to be plugged in, and it doesn't require batteries. He doesn't necessarily think it's the most paranormal thing he's ever experienced. He just thinks it's cool. So he runs downstairs and he tells his mom, hey, mom, the tape player upstairs. And mom's like, yeah, what about it, Charlie? What's going on? And he goes, it doesn't need batteries. It's not plugged into the wall. It's playing by itself. And the mom kind of turns to him and she goes, what are you talking about? No, mom, you won't believe it. Like, it plays by itself. And the mom's like, that's not true. Basically, call your kid a liar. I'm busy, honey. There must be batteries in it. No, mom, I checked. No, honey, mom's busy. I gotta take care of some stuff. She really just blows him off. She doesn't believe him at all. He just goes back upstairs.
Tell me.
He's listening to My Prerogative. He's sitting there and he goes, well, okay. I mean, maybe this is normal. Like, maybe I have nothing to compare this against. Maybe just sometimes things don't need electricity. He just continues listening to his music. A few days later, it's the same routine. Charlie gets home. Actually, do five-year-olds have school? I don't know. But anyways, he's just running around the backyard. He's like, a hard day's work. Charlie Charlie goes, for the next couple days, the same thing. I would go and listen to my music on the landing, and I didn't plug it in, and it had no batteries, and I would just play the tapes. And it's so funny, the first time it happened to you, you'd be like, wow, this is amazing. By day three or four, you kind of just figure it is a normal thing, but at the same time, in the back of Charlie's head, he goes, this isn't normal. There's other things that do these, all unplugging the television set. He's like, that doesn't turn on. Unplugs the fridge. He's like, no, that doesn't turn on. So he goes back downstairs and he goes, Mom, remember a couple days ago when I told you that the tape deck was playing without any power at all? There's no batteries in it. There's no power cord, nothing. The mom's like, vaguely, I remember that. I have bills to pay. I have to work. You just run around in the backyard all day long. Well, yeah, that's still happening. It's been days now. There's no batteries in it. There's no electricity. And again, the mom blows him off. So this time Charlie goes, I'm just going to, this is super easy to prove. I'm going to bring the tape deck downstairs and show it to my mom. He brings the tape deck down and he sets it down. He goes, Mom, just check this out. Just check this out. Not plugged in, right? And she's like, right. And he goes, let me put this cassette tape in. Okay. No batteries. And I'll prove it. He flips it over. Opens a little battery case. No batteries are in there. And she's like, okay. She knows what's going to happen, right? He's going to hit play. Nothing's going to go. And he goes, no power. This has no power at all. No electricity, no battery. Yes. Yeah, I get it, honey. There's like a pot roast burning in the oven. Hurry up. Mommy's busy. He once again shows her the cassette tape inside. Hits play. Don't be cruel, because I would never be that cruel to you. So don't be cruel. It's playing the tape. Perfect, perfectly playing the tape. And the mom just freezes. Completely catches her off guard. And she sits there for a moment, and Charlie's waiting for her to say something, anything. And she said, well, I just don't know then. And when Charlie heard that, he goes, I could tell by her tone, she didn't want to talk about it. Like, this was the last time we were ever going to discuss this. The situation was done. He takes his tape deck upstairs and he's just sitting on the landing, listening to it. And eventually it's bedtime. And like he always does, he left the tape player on the landing and went into his bedroom and went to sleep. The next morning when he wakes up, he walks out to the landing. Tape player is gone. He's like, hey, Mom, where's my tape player at? I wanted to listen to some more Bobby Brown. I can't find it anywhere. It's not on the landing. I always leave it on the landing. Did you pick it up? Like, where is it going? Where did it go? And the mom's like, I didn't do anything with it. You must have lost it. He's like, what? No, I left it on the landing. And he starts kind of looking around for it. Maybe, you know, looking in his room, looking around. He cannot find it anywhere, but he knows that it's not in his room. It's nowhere else but the landing where he left it, where he always leaves it. And he keeps asking his mom, where do you think it is? He's not accusing her outright of theft. It doesn't really pop in his head at the time. She just goes, I don't know, you must have lost it. And he knew that wasn't true, but like, what other thing could it be? What other possibility could have happened to this tape deck? He left it out on the landing. It's gone now. Oh, well, that sucks. I need to get a new tape player. It wasn't until years later when Charlie was thinking about this story and he goes, oh, now I know what happened to it, or what he suspects happened to it. Because as you get older, you would start to realize how utterly bizarre that is. Even if you accepted for a moment that maybe it had stored up some power and, like, I don't know how tape decks work, but I had a lot of them as a kid, junk ones. the little tiny speaker before I got my awesome birthday one. So you could do weird things with them, right? You could hit, sometimes the gears seem to turn for a split second with nothing plugged in. Like, it would do weird stuff for sure, mechanical things. But his tape deck played for days without any power. It's truly bizarre. Whether that is paranormal or or amazing Japanese engineering or somewhere in between, it's not normal. And as he got older, he goes, oh, I bet you anything my mother threw that away. Because it's creepy. It's something that breaks the laws of what you know to be true. It is impossible. And he goes, she probably freaked her out. Like, it may, many adults. Many adults. You're finding something that just shouldn't exist. This was posted online by someone going by the name Independence Much 1863. It's a really interesting story because it's so mundane. I talk about, I love the mundane paranormal stories. I think there are a ton of these types of stories out there. I think these stories are actually the most common. Not the tape deck in particular, but stories that are just odd events that have no real beginning or end, and then all evidence is destroyed or lost. And until the invention of the internet, and until you started having communities arise where you would not just have a UFO community, a cryptid community, a ghost community, but truly a community about high strangeness, just weird things in the world, and people are able to trade these stories, this stuff never gets reported. Who would you send this to? You wouldn't send it to a UFO magazine. It has zero to do with ghosts. You wouldn't send it to any of the paranormal organizations. And I think that this is the fate that would befall most cursed items. As paranormal researchers or as lovers of the paranormal, we would love to take a look at these things, have possession of these things. They belong in a museum. If this story is true, then this item would be in a paranormal museum. It really, I talked about this a lot, my own personal conspiracy theory, this would be in the hands of a government agency or some non-governmental organization that collects paranormal items as well. But not even they get to access it. It's in the garbage. The mom probably junked it. I don't think the mom walked and picked up the phone and said, give me the phone number to the SCP. Is that SPC? One of the two. They obviously, that whole creepypasta thing takes a really fantastical turn at it all. But I'm sure these items exist. I'm sure there are blessed items that are kind of in a whole Return to Oz type of state. And what I say is you have an entire room full of objects, just a menagerie, almost endless collection of bits and pieces, these little tchotchkes all over the place, and one of them has the ability to free your friends. If you choose wrong, you turn into an object yourself. That technically would say they're all magical, but what I'm saying is that you can have a room full of a bunch of mundane items. Let's say a thrift store, for example. It's full of junk. Something in there may be blessed. But you could not tell it just by looking at everything. You may not even be able to tell it by picking it up. But in the right place at the right time, you may be able to unlock its powers. I think blessed objects exist, but I think they're more, and again, I have nothing to back this up. This is just my own theory. There's more cursed objects than blessed objects. Because I would argue, I'm a pretty optimistic guy, but I think that I think about negative things just because of the stuff I read, like true crime and people getting their face busted open by a glass bottle. I read more negative stuff. I assume, and it's probably is not a good assumption, but I assume that people have more negative feelings throughout a day than truly positive ones. Like I said earlier in that story, I can remember that was one of those times I was truly happy. I've been with loved ones and friends and family, and I love them. I love being with them. But there are certain points in time where I can go, that was true happiness. And the reason why I can look at that, because the before and the after weren't. I had a lot of friends. I had a family that loved me. Bobby Brown was on 24 hours a day in my house. But I can go, the stuff that happened before that, the stuff that happened after that, wasn't that great. Or I don't have great memories of it. I was truly happy when I got that tape deck. So I think blessed objects are probably more rare than cursed objects. I think this technically is just an anomaly. I don't think it's blessed or cursed. But there's something, I mean, obviously it's breaking the laws of physics. And that's what would throw the mother off. That's what I think. If you have something in your house, I would argue this, if I wasn't a paranormal researcher, and I had something in my house that broke the law of physics, my question would, she may just go, this is creepy, and threw it away. My question would be, if it can break the law of thermodynamics, what else can it break? If it can do this, what's to say one morning I'm not going to walk out in my living room and there's like a black hole or a neutron star is forming? Or just a bunch of goblins are jumping out, right? It doesn't have to be earth-ending. A house full of goblins now. That would be a logical thing. If this is capable of playing a tape with zero energy, what else is it capable of? If you had a doll that all of a sudden was addressing you by your first name, hello, Paul. It's like a little Cabbage Patch doll. And you're like, what? Do you have a voice box in you? Hello, Paul. You may at first, you're like, no, Jason, I'm setting that thing on fire. There's no first, second, or third thought. The Cabbage Patch must burn. If you had a doll that talked to you, this might be the most outlandish example. We got to wrap this up. But if you had a doll that talked to you, I think the general fear would be, fine, it can talk to me. You're like, Jason, no, we'd kill it right away. The doll can talk to you. Eventually, you're going to go, the doll's eventually going to start chasing me around with a butcher knife. I've seen enough documentaries. I've seen a whole series of documentaries called Child's Play. If I let this doll that can talk hang out in my house, well, I mean, who's to say that eventually it won't try to murder me in my sleep? So I just get rid of the doll. Just gonna throw it in the garbage. That would actually be worse. This is just a tape deck. Could you imagine? He threw it in the garbage, and then, you know, garbage day was just earlier that morning. You're like, oh, damn it. So in your garbage can, sitting in your kitchen, you hear a muffled, Paul, it's dark in here. I promise I won't chase you around with a butcher knife. Oh, it hurts. You're all pouring hot water in there. You're like, oh, made this coffee, but I don't need it. It's the pain. Please get me out of here. And you're like, man, I got to put up with this for 6 days. Then there's a garbage strike. You're like, ah. By week two, you're like, fine, I will dig you out of the garbage can if you just quit complaining. It's all full of rats, stuffed body full of rats. I think it would make sense to get rid of I don't think you would if you had something that broke the law of thermodynamics, but I understand why people would get rid of it, because it doesn't make sense. Even if you had like a necklace from your deceased great-grandmother, and as long as you had that in the house, every so often you'd smell her perfume, you can deal with that, because that makes sense in the world of the paranormal. You can deal with that. There are other things that I think are just way too perplexing. The easiest thing to do is to junk it, and I think there are trash dumps full of stuff like this. Not like amount of it, not like there's a considerable amount, but you think about the amount of stuff that the average person worldwide throws away every year. I'm sure if you went through those dumps, you might find a bizarre object here or there. Your odds are not good. You're like, hey, Jimmy, let's go down. Let's go down to the dump today. I was listening to this podcast, Never Have Radio. He says, we might find cursed objects. No, I mean, your odds are particularly low. But I think it's possible. Somewhere out there, in some garbage dump, somewhere, there's a tape deck that's probably still there. Probably underneath 4 metric tons of garbage, but there's a tape deck with a Bobby Brown tape probably still in it, playing to this day. Over and over and over again, underneath an unending sea of garbage, you may hear Bobby Brown tell people, don't be cruel. It's a good lesson for all of us. No matter how we hear it. Whether we hear it from me telling you the song, or from underneath 800 feet of trash. Maybe that's what we need in this world. A little more don't be cruel. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be your email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great day.